Galatians 2:20 says, I've been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives indwelling me. And the Zoe life, which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me unconditionally and gave himself up as a sin substitute for me. We come to Bible study to know where to place our faith. In preparation for your study of the Word of God, it's time to evaluate yourselves by inspecting your mindset. You can ask yourself a very simple question. What thought pattern am I allowing to influence me right now? Is your soul tuned to the influence of KCOS, the world system of thought? Or is your soul tuned to the influence of WGOD, the divine system of thought? Bible study is a time to tune your soul to the reception of biblical thought, which the Bible refers to as renewing, as you let God the Holy Spirit fill up your deficiency with the truth of the mind of Christ, the Word of God. Through renewing, God transforms us. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 says this, we believers in Christ with unveiled face given by God, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image as God, from the ultimate source of glory to reflected glory, just as from the agency of the Lord, in this case, the Lord being God the Holy Spirit. So now is the time for you to let your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ renew your mind through the filling of the Spirit, preparing you in humility to receive the Word implanted, which is able to save your souls. So as God prepares you for renewing your mind, let's hear June Murphy worship our Lord in song. As you fix the eyes of your soul on the author and perfecter of your faith, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The opening song is In the Beginning.
The heavens and the earth to the universe gave birth.
Thank you, June. Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying the absolute truth, the Word of God. Help us to place our complete confidence in you and in your Word. We ask this through the power of God, the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. Welcome to Barah Ministries. My name is Pastor Rory Clark. You're listening to Lesson 428 of the Creator versus Creature Conflict series. Welcome to a ministry designed for serious students of the Word of God. Today's study, the Creator's will is that you have faith. The Creator's will is that you have faith. Please stand. In gratitude for all who defend our freedom, and especially in gratitude for military victory from our frontline military personnel, and in honor of law enforcement officers all over the world, especially those in our own congregation, we recite the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. A few announcements. Mark your calendars. The next Lord's Supper celebration is March 3rd, so that's the first Monday of the month as opposed to the second, because we won't be here on March 10th. Jerry, we won't be here on March 10th. Also, mark your calendars. Barah Ministries radio program is on KXXT 1010 AM in Phoenix on Fridays from 4:30 to 5, and it's rebroadcast at myfamilyvaluesradio.net. Under Click to Listen, the letter G, and the program is called God Cares for You. This week's lesson in our evangelistic radio ministry is God Makes Himself Visible. New lesson and an excellent one, if I might say so myself. So please be sure to give it a listen. No, it was actually why I liked it. So, you know, some of them I don't like, but that one I really like. Temporary location change, and I think that's in 2 weeks. On March 3rd, we're going to be at the Hilton Chandler at 2929 West Fry Road in Chandler, 85224. 480-899-7400 is the phone number. It is on the front page of the website. Mark your calendars. Homecoming for the resident non-resident congregation is June 15th and 16th, but the early homecoming for the non-resident congregation happened this weekend, and this is phenomenal. So thank you all for being here. So, yeah. I like teaching to full seats. It's a strange thing. I feel much better. But who's here? So Stephen, Nick, and Charlotte Capaldo are here. Oh, wait a minute. I didn't say that right. Stephen, Nick, and Charlotte Capaldo are here. A. Is that better? Debbie Kramer is here from Kansas. Hi, Debbie. Leo and Kathy Gilday are here. From Chicago, my hometown, homies. And Nathan Murphy's here from San Diego, and Alex is here from San Diego. But we don't call her Alex, we call her Boots. She's got a little owie on her ankle. Did I miss anybody? I don't think I did I? Awesome. So welcome, non-resident congregation members. You may be non-resident, but you're primary in my heart. So thank you for all that you do to support the ministry and to support me as a pastor. I really appreciate it. Yeah, exactly. You guys are, but the last shall be first. Thank you. Yeah. Also, mark your calendars. The Coeur d'Alene, Idaho Bible Conference date has been tentatively set for August 9th. And no Bible study on March 10th, April 21st, June 30th, December 8th, and December 29th. Also, this week, Beyond Here Lies is going to take place. It is contrary to popular belief. This has nothing to do with a life living lies. That's what Jamie has to say about that. So Jamie and 8 other undergrads are giving their senior photography exhibition. The opening reception is Wednesday, February 20th, anytime between 6 p.m. and 8 p.m. at ASU's Gallery 100 on the southeast corner of Mill and University in Tempe. And postcards with this information are on the back table. So please feel free to do that. I think it would be an awesome thing if we support Jamie in this. She's taken a very long journey to get through college. It took a lot of perseverance to do that. And she took a major that wasn't really easy, and she got through one of the best schools of photography in the world with a great grade point average, and it was a lot of really hard work, and I think you would really like it to see her hard work on exhibition. So please, by all means, join us at that celebration. Next, let's take the offering, and let's welcome up Deacon Caleb Allburn.
Good morning. I figured if you're not going to say it anymore, I might as well say it.
I'll go back to saying it if you want.
I like it. That was easy. God provides Bible doctrine through His grace, and we hope to reflect His grace. Therefore, Barah Ministries is a grace ministry and functions entirely on generous donations. There is no charge for any Bible doctrine at BarahMinistries.com. Our website allows anyone, anywhere, to receive the Word of God free of charge. Gratitude for the Word of God inspires believers to give of their time, talent, and treasure. This week, God wanted to make one thing crystal clear to me. That is, perseverance. God wants to teach us to never give up. To never give up on God, to never give up on ourselves, and to never give up on others. And since I seem to have plenty of personal material, we're just going to go ahead and use me as an example. I got kicked out of school because of getting into too much trouble, and I had to switch schools as a result in the first grade. I did not have pause for applause on that one. That was... Oops. I got kicked out of the DARE program. I guess you guys know what it is. It's a program designed to keep kids off of drugs and alcohol. Because my teacher found out that I was drinking and smoking pot in the fifth grade. I was arrested 3 times before middle school. And this type of behavior went on through junior high also. And yet, somehow, through all of this, my teachers and staff voted and granted me the most likely to succeed award at my 8th grade graduation. So naturally, I followed this up by failing my first year of high school. And of course, by failing the first semester of my 2nd year of high school also. Something clearly had to change. And I used to wish that I had a really big story that I can share and tell everybody about what happened and changed in my life. But now I see why God never gave that to me. There is no big story. The truth is, it was just a conversation. It was a conversation that my brother had with me. And it was the exact same conversation that I had with him, with my parents, and with my teachers hundreds of times in my life. However, this time, it just happened not to fall on deaf ears. As a result of that redundant conversation, I passed every class the next semester, and I started my junior year of high school with 3 credits. I kept this up, I took extra classes, and I graduated with the rest of my class on time. Then after my graduation ceremony, my mom came up to me, and she gave me a gift. It was a keychain that read, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare, not for calamity. To give you a future and a hope." Now, I'm not yet where I want to be in life. But I am on the road to get to where I want to go. And I owe this to people. I owe this to everyone who cared enough about me to talk to me. even though it was clear that I didn't want to hear it. I owe this in large part to my brother who didn't give up on me, even though my actions practically begged him to. Now, I share this story to encourage us not to give up. You know, I share this story to encourage us not to give up on others, not to give up on our children, not to give up on our parents, not to give up on our clients or on our bosses, not to give up on our employees or on our coworkers, not to give up on our spouses or on our friends. I share this to encourage us not to give up on a building, not to give up on the deacons, not to give up on our pastor. And I share this to encourage us not to give up on Barah Ministries. So thank you. And please remember to give while I'm just joking. With the motivation suggested in Scripture, that each one must do just as he has purpose in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Thank you.
Welcome back. So I told Caleb that, Deacon Caleb, that there are a lot of parents in our non-resident congregation who have kids who are absolutely incorrigible. And that was a very encouraging message for them who feel powerless, that there is hope at the end of the tunnel. Our hope is in Christ. And so we indeed should never give up. Not on ourselves, not on people. That was a very, very excellent and encouraging message. And so I really appreciate it. Thank you for that. And I know there are a lot of people in our congregation who will appreciate it too. Today's study, the Creator's will, is that you have faith. The Creator's will is that you have faith. The next question in our series of questions designed to illuminate a biblical passage is this one. What is the passage teaching us about God and his plan? I did a biblical search of the New Testament recently, looking for occurrences of four words: faith, believe, hope, and love. In the New American Standard Translation of the Bible, faith occurs 246 times in the New Testament out of 250 times in the entire Bible. The New Testament is all about faith. Believe occurs 126 times in the New Testament out of 152 times in the whole Bible. Believe is a critical part of the Christian way of life. Hope, which we know is elpis, absolute confidence, as a result of our faith in God, occurs 75 times out of 140 times in the entire Bible. And love appears 215 times in the New Testament out of 348 times in the entire Bible. Now, I did the search because these were the words on my mind this week: faith, believe, hope, and love. Faith was on my mind because I witnessed it in Mexico this week. Believe was on my mind because it is so simple. Hope was on my mind because I've been feeling a lot of it lately. Love was on my mind because I am in love. So I wanted to close out the lessons this week by sharing with you some lessons learned in our journey of rejecting the legitimacy of the doctrine of rebound that we have undertaken this year. In light of the question, what is the passage of 1 John chapter 1 teaching us about God and His plan? This seems like a legitimate undertaking. Mark chapter 4, beginning at verse 30. Turn there, please. Mark chapter 4, beginning at verse 30. Come on, Leo, you can do it. Yeah, you piggy out, you open it. You know, it's just like pulling a club out of a bag, put it in grip. Mark is about a little more past halfway. You can do it, Doc. I know you got the rebellion thing going. That's cool. You know, I'm all right with that. But you in Phoenix now, you within striking distance. You can't go hide in a, you're in a bedroom or something. Mark chapter 4, verse 30. Mark chapter 4, verse 30. It says this: "And the Lord Jesus Christ said, how shall we picture the kingdom of God? Or by what parable shall we present it?" Mark 4, 31. It's like a mustard seed, which when sown upon the soil, though it is smaller than all the seeds that are upon the soil, yet when it is sown, Mark chapter 4, verse 32, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and forms large branches so that the birds of the air can nest under its shade. God is making a promise to you that no matter how insignificant your life seems right now, it will grow up and become larger than you can imagine. Turn to Matthew chapter 17, verse 20. Matthew chapter 17, verse 20. See, Dorothy, Leo, Dorothy just goes to the index. She looks down, Matthew, turns to that page, and then starts, I mean, she's awesome.
This is Susan, it's not mine.
Yeah. What version is that? What version of the Bible is that?
It's a NASB.
Is it?
Yeah.
Awesome. It better be. You were just about to get called out, too. You know, come all the way over here to get called out.
I know better.
She goes, no. Oh, it's NAS, man. I'm telling you. I wouldn't dream of doing anything else. I know you guys, though. I know you guys. There's some NIVs in here. Some King James, I know. Matthew chapter 17, verse 20. The Lord Jesus Christ said to them, and just to set up the situation, a guy with a kid who was a lunatic, which means he's probably bipolar, and that's the way they described it in those days. This man had brought his kid to the apostles, and they could not heal him. And so he went to the Lord and asked, why couldn't your apostles heal him? And the Lord Jesus Christ, said to them, because of the apostles actually asked him, why couldn't we heal him? And the Lord Jesus Christ said to them, because of the littleness of your faith. For truly I say to you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you'll say to this mountain, any obstacle, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you. This lesson is dedicated to a friend of mine. His name is Domingo Valdez, and he is a bellman at a timeshare that I own in Los Cabos, Mexico, which is the place where I go when I don't want to be gotten to, the place I go when I want to gain perspective through peace and quiet. One of the first people I think about when I go to Los Cabos is Domingo. Whether I'm staying at the resort at which he works or at another resort, I always want to see him right away. Domingo didn't graduate from high school. He can think in English, but not as well as he thinks in Spanish. So at times, there is a bit of a pause as he is translating what I'm saying into Spanish so that his mind can understand it. He always has a book with him, and in the idle times, he reads, mostly about the Lord. He is a Christian, rare for a Mexican, in a predominantly Roman Catholic culture. He makes $5 a day plus tips. I may be underestimating it, but I think he makes about $100 a week. When he takes my bags to my room, he always waves off the tip, although I won't let him. His greeting is always the same, "Hello, Pastor," and then a quick hug that displays the warmth of Mexico. When talking to him, I always lose track of time. When talking to him, I always feel at home. He's very open about his life. He is married. He has a son. He's very open about his faults. He wants to be a pastor, and well, he should. He has evangelized to all of his coworkers, and he knows the spiritual status of every one of them. I love listening to his insights about life, and about his family, and about his marriage, and about the people that he works with. This week, I was not staying at the resort where he works, so I went out of my way to go see him. He was telling me about a Bible study he attends during the week. And recently, when it was his turn to talk in the Bible study, he said to the people, "I can't teach you anything because I don't know much, but the Holy Spirit can teach you everything. So I'm going to share with you some Bible verses, and I'm going to tell you what I think they mean, and then we can talk about how they apply to our lives." Faith. Domingo, whose name means Sunday in Spanish, has faith. His faith is as small as a mustard seed, but it is constantly teaching big lessons to this pastor. You see, Domingo doesn't know a thing about post-salvation epistemological rehabilitation or scar tissue of the soul, or reverse process reversionism, or triple compound discipline, or rebound, or losing or gaining the filling of the Spirit. For Domingo, biblical study is not an intellectual pursuit. It is a journey of faith. It is a love for the person, the Lord. What I hear Domingo talking about is Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the Lord, grace, the gospel, and faith. Domingo embodies the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ, and I love hearing his viewpoint. And every conversation with him is always too short. He has faith as small as a mustard seed, yet it moves mountains in my soul. Perhaps you can credit one of my conversations with Domingo with the renewing that I have felt in my soul this year. Maybe that's why this year has gotten off to such a great start, rooting out the legalism and the legalistic doctrines that can choke a congregation and that can choke faith and that can choke joy to death. If I can talk him into it, I want to bring Domingo up to teach a lesson to you later this year. If he doesn't want to teach a lesson, then maybe I'll just bring him up to meet you. He is a great person, a man of God, and a physical manifestation of faith. Take a 5-minute break and then I'll tell you more. Welcome back. I'm in love. Being in love usually isn't good news, but this time it is. I'm just trying to tell the truth up in there. On Valentine's Day, and by the way, I know you were really glad when I said Domingo was married, right? That's the kind of sick people you are, I know. I know. You'll get it more even next Wednesday. So being in love isn't usually good news. Hang on. Yeah, it's freaking. All right. So being in love usually isn't good news, but this time it is. On Valentine's Day, even the hardest heart turns its fancy to love, and my hard heart was no exception. I started to reflect on all the loves in my life throughout the years, and some common things surfaced. From my side, when I decide to love, I'm all in. Heaven help the person that I love. I drown them with all of myself, and I'm sure it's a bit overwhelming. On the other side is usually a person who has been abused in some way, and I enter their lives to restore their hope. This was a common theme in every case but one, and the one exception was probably the woman I should have married, but I didn't. My friends used to tell me that if I went in a room of 40 women and 39 of them were normal, I'd leave with the one that wasn't normal. And unfortunately, that is a true story. Love, for me, has always been about giving, not taking. It's a painful road. And no matter how hard I've tried, I haven't been able to change that. Inevitably, in every human relationship, there comes a time when the other person no longer values your voice. I call it the betrayal phase of a relationship. The other person no longer believes in you. They no longer listen to you. They start listening to others, and they reject you. If you reflect on your own relationships, I bet you will see the betrayal phase. If you are parents and you have teens, you definitely know what I mean. The time comes when they value the words of their peer group more than they value your words. In the past, the betrayal phase was always a devastating time for me. No more. I didn't really mind so much the feeling of rejection. I certainly didn't mind letting them go. I just hate to see the result of unbelief. The object of my love goes out to be hurt and intentionally puts self in harm's way. And the result is always predictable. They get devastated, and then all of a sudden your words of warning ring loudly in their ears. It's so predictable, it's pathetic. But that's life. It's not a fate that you would wish on your worst enemy, but it is life. I've become good at letting go. See, God allows these relationships to teach us. Through relationships, we learn the most about the creator versus creature conflict. People will be attracted to us. People will betray us. People will reject us. And then we'll either reconcile or divorce. There have been many more divorces than reconciliations in my life, I'm afraid. Yet on Valentine's Day, after nearly 6 decades on the earth, I realized that I have been in love for a really long time, and I really wasn't doing anything about it. I was too busy giving my affections to others instead of giving my affection to my love. You, on the outside, would have never noticed the long betrayal, but my love did, and it must have really hurt. But now I'm back to stay. You see, my true love, the one that I am in love with, is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that may not be a revelation to you, but it is a definite revelation to me. Not that I love the Lord, but how deeply I love him. I haven't been giving the Lord my all. I split my affections. The good news is that misdirecting my affections to people and self and things has always had the same result, failure. Let me repeat that. The good news is that directing my affections to people and to self and to things has always had the same result, failure. I betrayed my true love, yet not once has my true love ever betrayed me. Even though he should have, and if his love for me were conditional, he would have, yet he didn't leave my side, not even once. I misdirected my all of me affections to everyone and everything but him. But one gnawing feeling has plagued me through the years. I was looking for a love from humans that they could never give to me. A love that I already had in the Lord. And only through all of the failures at those human loves have I realized that they could never give me what he could. See, his love fills up my deficiencies. Yet I shunned it by putting it on the back burner while I looked for love in all the wrong places. Please don't get me wrong. I am not one of those people who, having failed at every human relationship, has turned into the I don't need humans, I only need God people. Let me repeat that. Don't get me wrong. I am not one of those people who, having failed at every human relationship, has turned into the I don't need humans, I only need God people. I hate those people, actually. That's usually a defensive reaction to hurt. What I realize is that without giving my all to God, I could never really value the inadequate love of a human being, not even my own inadequate love for another human being. I am not enough for others, and they are not enough for me. Only when the love of God is being honored and is flowing between two souls can true soul love be experienced. I have experienced this love occasionally with people and a lot with my younger son. We have always said that our relationship with the Lord is what made our relationship valuable and viable, but I don't think we really knew the depth of what we were saying. My faith in God is small, about the size of a mustard seed, yet it gives me hope, a hope that has kept me alive during the dark times, and there have been many, 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 many dark times. I am in love with Jesus Christ. The only requirement he has given me in this life is to completely agree with him in all matters. Homologeo. Nothing I do is going to have the depth of feeling and the satisfaction without him. Look in your Bibles at John chapter 15, verse 5. John chapter 15, verse 5. John chapter 15, verse 5. John 15, 5 says this, I, the Lord Jesus Christ, am the vine, and you, believers in Christ, are the branches, and he who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So here's the question of this lesson. What is the passage, 1 John chapter 1, teaching us about God and his plan? Is your faith concerning being forgiven for sin based on your confession of sins or on the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ and his grace? Is your hope of rewards in heaven based on changing diapers while filled with the Spirit? Or is it based on the faith you have in the faithfulness of this wonderful Lord and Savior that we have, Jesus Christ? Is your love for an intellectualized version of the Christian way of life with the complex terminology and language designed to make you feel smarter than everyone else more important? Or is your love for the Lord's version of Christianity, where He is the only one who can fill up the deficiencies in you, louder in your soul? Do you believe in yourself more than you believe in what God can do for you? I ask you those questions. I think the lessons from this passage in 1 John and from this study of the doctrine of rebound are profound. The Christian way of life is a lot simpler than we think it is. It took the simplicity of Domingo to teach me that. The Christian way of life gives us hope. And it took 6 decades of searching fruitlessly for something else to give me confidence, to determine that my only confidence comes from Him. The Christian way of life is a lifestyle of unconditional love. The verse doesn't say faith, hope, and love abide in these three, but the greatest of these is justice, is our point of contact with God. The verse says faith, hope, and love abide in these three, but the greatest of these is love. Someone came here as a visitor once and asked his son after the lesson, "Where is the love?" I didn't understand the question at the time, but now I do. We didn't have love. We had legalism. We have merely to believe that there is no other way but the Lord Jesus. We have merely to believe that there is no other way but the way the Lord Jesus Christ suggests in John chapter 14, verses 5 and 6. Turn there, please. Caleb, tee up, what's that song? Come See a Man. So June's going to sing 2 songs before this is over. The next one's going to be Come See a Man, so tee that up. John chapter 14, verse 5. We'll look at verses 5 and 6. John chapter 14, verse 5 says, "Doubting Thomas said to the Lord Jesus Christ, 'Lord, we don't know where you're going. How do we know the way?'" John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus said to Thomas, "I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. I am the way to salvation. I am the truth through the Word of God. I am the Zoe life. And no one comes to the Father but through believing in me. I am the way." So June, come on up and sing about my favorite guy. Come See a Man. So I hope that these first 21 hours or so this year have lifted a burden off of you. I hope you can breathe a sigh of relief. And I hope that all the times we spend together from this point on are us really getting to know Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God, with no interference. Because there's going to be a day when you as a believer are face to face with him, and I don't want that to be the first day that you experience exactly how much he loves you in your soul. I want there to be a lot of those moments experienced right here with us. And when we're truly getting at what's in the Word of God, there's no way that we could help having that happen. Because there is a person in your life who loves you exactly the way you need to be loved. If it's a human being, that's fantastic, but it probably isn't. If you expect it from a human being, you're probably wasting your time. Because unconditional love means being able to accept the other people in our lives right where they are at that moment. especially during the phases when they're betraying you, especially during those times when they're rejecting you, especially during those times when they don't want to hear your voice. If you can't love during those times, you don't know God. This congregation is going to know God. We're going to know Him. And my embarrassment at the judgment seat of Christ will be if I didn't do everything that was in my human power and everything that was in my divine power through the filling of the Spirit, through being in the Spirit, to expose you in every message to that deep, intimate, personal love that He has for you and the passion that He has for you being phenomenal in the face of you being nothing. You know, we call Barah Ministries for a reason. It's to make something out of nothing. That's what Jesus is doing with us. And He will not fail. And I am committed to not failing you and helping you get to know Him. Now, I'll make mistakes along the way, and I'm glad this was the mistake I made. I'm glad you didn't find out about the child porn ring yet. So I'm glad that the worst thing that you know about me is that I mistaught the doctrine of rebound. And it won't be my last mistake, I guarantee it. As a matter of fact, I can't stand to listen to myself half the time because I get so excited up here, I make mistakes all the time. But I'm not going to let my mistakes obscure for a second what's really important to me, Jesus. And why we really come here, Jesus. That's who I want you to know. And if you only know Him, I don't care what else you know, because that will make up for a multitude of errors. When you leave today, I want you to look around you when you're on the outside. You're going to see a lot of people looking for the way. Show them the way. That's what we are to learn from this study. The way is the Lord Jesus Christ. The way is not us. Trust Him with your faith. Believe in Him for salvation. Place your hope in Him, which will result in confidence in you. And love Him forever with all of yourself. And peace will be with you. June, let's close with faith, hope, and love. Can you do two songs in a row?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good.
By God and Holy Spirit.
Thank you, June. Nice job. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. I'm learning to hate this. I'm going to take Elliot's computer out and assassinate it. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he might promote you at the proper time, slamming all your cares on his back, because God considers your problems to be his responsibility. He cares for you. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory blameless and with great joy, to the only God our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Let us pray. Almighty God and Father, thank you for lifting the burden of legalism off of our backs. Thank you for opening the eyes of our souls. Thank you for focusing our eyes, instead of on our sins, to on the blessings that you placed aside for us in the heavenly places, those of us who are in union with Christ before the foundation of the world. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for your excellent plan. And thank you for giving us a mentor and teacher in God the Holy Spirit, who leads us into all the truth. I pray for those who are hurting today, Father, that you give them the soothing touch of your hand so that the things that are gigantic in their lives might become small in their souls. When they realize that they're in the back seat of the limousine and that you're driving them to the destination that you planned for these trials and tribulations in eternity past, help them to breathe a sigh of relief knowing that you're in charge. Thank you for being at the center of the universe and controlling all things by the word of the power of your Son. We pray that you continue to shape the messages from this pulpit that are an accurate reflection of your person, your thinking, your work, your reputation, and your essence. And we ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. Thanks for coming, thanks for watching, and thanks for listening. Yay.